This podcast is made possible by supporters like you. Mahalo. And by Atlas Insurance Agency, Hawaii's largest professional agency, helping Hawaii navigate insurance solutions since 1929. More at atlasinsurance.com.
Hello, my kakou. Welcome to a new episode of What School You Went, where we start every conversation with this question. I'm Ron Mizutani, and today we're talking about the Koko Crater Stairs, also known as the Koko Crater Stairs of Doom. Originally built by the U.S. Army between 1942 and 43, this gas-powered rail tramway ferried personnel, equipment, and supplies from a base camp that sat below, that's now called Koko Head District Park. It happened along a cable-pulled rail car up to a radar equipment and operational facilities atop Pu'u Mai Summit. But there's much more to this history of this beautiful place and great views. I want to welcome David Nixon, president of the Coconut Coalition. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting, preserving, and rehabilitating the Koko Crater Stairs. Aloha to you, David.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. Welcome to the program. First thing first, what school you went?
I went to a small school in Michigan. It's a Plymouth Academy. What school you went?
I went to a school right over here called Kamehameha. What brought you to Hawaii?
I came here with my wife for a job at the University of Hawaii.
Nice. Yeah. And now you've loved this place and call it home.
I do. Yeah. I lived here 15 years. Love it.
You know what I love about this, David, is that you, not only did you fall in love with the islands, you're taking care of the islands. And you acknowledge the resources that we have that are so very beautiful. And, you know, there's no secret about it. The Koko Crater Stairs gets a ton of foot traffic. Probably the most incredible views of the Windward Oahu and East Honolulu around.
You know, it's beautiful. I dragged my little one up when he was three or four, and I have cute pictures of that. But it gets a lot of traffic, maybe 500,000 people a year.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, it's really incredible. And all that foot traffic really wears it down. There's been no maintenance on it since they decommissioned it back in the late 60s. So it was really falling apart. A bunch of us got together and decided to form a nonprofit. We thought, you know, this could be done. This could be fixed. And it really needs to be fixed. And we can't – the alternatives are terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do, tear it all down? That even can't happen.
Yeah. And, you know, at one time what I read and did some research, and I'm sure maybe if you can confirm, there were 1,048 – they were called cross ties, but we call them stairs, right? That's no longer, or is it coming back up now with your great work?
Oh, it's way up now. Yeah. It had dipped below 800.
Wow.
So that's a lot. And we were losing in 2018, which is when the organization formed, we estimated that we were losing about one of those ties a week. That's 50 a year you're losing. So yeah. It was not too long before things were there'd be 20 or 30 foot stretches with nothing.
Right.
But just the absence of those ties, mm-hmm. it means – because it's really steep.
Yeah.
It's 35, 37 degrees at some points at an angle. And so it's not something you can just kind of walk up through the dirt or walk down through the dirt. You'll slide or trip and fall or something. It's really – so the absence of the steps was really the problem. And they just – the dirt erodes out around them, and then they just fall off the rail, and they were just gone. Or they corroded and – you know, they rotted and disappeared.
So you and a bunch of your friends in Hui together, and today you have a nonprofit, and you folks give back to the community by, you folks build the stairs, you partner with the city.
We did, yeah. It took us about a year to negotiate permission because, you know, it's very different, right? We think it's a model for moving forward, for really rebuilding the island. But it took a while to negotiate permission for it. We finally did. Then we got the engineering plans put together, worked through the procurement, and we've been working on it since we started a little bit in December, a little testing, but really we just started in January.
Wow.
And we're almost done. We'll be done in 2 months.
No kidding. And yeah. You folks supply your own equipment, material, or how does that work?
Well, so as part of the partnership, the city provided a storage container. That's been really nice. Tools. And a bunch of lumber and hardware. It wasn't enough, But the city, you know, they held up their end, and we raised money the rest. Right and on. We've raised a lot of money, some from institutional donations, a lot of it from individual donations. Every week, people are donating, you know, $5, $10, sometimes more. It's great. All of that money goes into supplies. We don't really have any paid staff. This is a, you know, it's a labor of love.
Visitors from all over the world know about this now. I think social media has really changed that, and maybe that's not a good thing, but it's just one of the many different things that our resources take its toll with social media's presence.
I think that is a real challenge. I don't think that there's going to be more people coming because we've built it necessarily. Like I said, before we even started, there were 500,000 people a year climbing, and half of them are, you know, they're us.
Yeah.
They're local residents. That wear and tear is really substantial. I think of it as, you know, we're just making it safer for the people that are going to come.
I appreciate that. And I know those who do frequent that. And a couple of things I think about, it's kind of a rite of passage for me. I mean, I quietly decided at the age of 40, on my 40th birthday, that I was going to do this. I didn't know if I could finish it. And I certainly wasn't in great shape, so I quietly did it without telling a soul where I was going. And when I got to the top, I can't tell you how accomplished I felt. The first time, for anybody who does it, they'll know that incline and increase that you speak of. But it is an accomplishment for those who maybe are not as seasoned hikers as others are.
Yeah. And people go up there with different mindsets, you know, a lot of all kinds of different mindsets. I climbed up there I think about 3 months ago with a lady who was climbing for her first time, a lifelong resident, on her 76th birthday.
Wow.
It was amazing. And it was really a very special experience. I was really touched.
Yeah, it was quite spiritual for me. You know, I don't want to over-exaggerate it, but I really felt like I was on top of the world. And so I went home and gathered my three younger children at the time. They're all adults today. And I said, next week, Saturday, we're waking up at 6 a.m. and you guys are going with Dad. And halfway up, my oldest said, why in the world are we doing this? You know, but the interesting thing is he just returned home with his friends from Minnesota for a visit, and he took them up there.
Yeah.
And he's now 31. And he said, Dad, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's as beautiful as that day you forced us up there.
And you want him to take his kids up too.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, is trying to make sure that that can happen.
Huge mahalo for that, making that happen. You know, that Pu'umai Summit, though, it has a lot of history in it. It was used for practical purposes back, you know, when it was first built.
World War II.
When did it all become where it was no longer needed, and why? For that purposes that
the
army built it.
I mean, I'm not super expert on the history of it, but my understanding was originally it was lookout, then it shifted to radar installation. But after at some point in the 60s or so, they no longer needed it, that particular location, for radar. So they continued to use that site area. The Job Corps had something down at the base for a while, and really nobody used to climb it.
It was no big deal back then.
It really was nothing. Right. Even as late as late 70s or early 80s, I've talked to a guy who'd been climbing it for, you know, many, many decades. He said, you know, I would go up as a kid, and I might be the only person up there all day long.
Isn't that something?
And now it's, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people in a day.
You know, because I'm sure there's regulars. I mean, again, I'm not a regular by any means. I've done it maybe a half dozen times now. But I do recall one guy who goes by you at about 100 miles an hour, and he'll, like, lap you. I mean, there are people who do it every day, several times a day. And just amazing to me that some people use it as a training area.
Yeah, and that's a different part of a different kind of a mindset to it. And we're all trying to stay in shape better than we used to.
Right.
And but for a lot of people, it's a training opportunity. Yeah.
You know, when I think about, though, what you folks have accomplished, and granted, that place has had its share of you know, rescues and injuries because not everybody's seasoned to go up there, but falls, et cetera. But then at the very top, and I know there's some controversy with the structure up there, the bunker. Mm-hmm. It's a bunker, correct?
Well, there are bunkers, so pillboxes, and that kind of stuff. There's some stuff that's dug into the mountain as well, so underground bunkers. And there's the remains of the radar platform is up mm-hmm. there.
So the platform was what was deemed unsafe, if you will, right?
The city felt it was unsafe. They took some steps to try to remove it. I think that we have a plan mm-hmm. in place. We negotiated with the city to tear it out and replace it with something comparable because, you know, there's a bunch of scrub trees up there. And if you take that off, then you ruin that ability to see, mm-hmm. you know, Maui and Lanai and all that.
Yeah, we don't want to take
and East Oahu and Diamond Head. So they're going to build something new that'll be.
I hope that comes to fruition. I pray that does happen because, again, that's the payoff, right? The image that you want to have and that panoramic view of East Honolulu and all the way, like you say, to Molokai.
360 degrees. Yeah. You can see Rabbit Island through the little gap between the mountains. And, yeah.
For yourself, you have taken your children up there?
Yeah.
Are they okay with that? Because mine's almost cursed at me, but you know that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, I played it a little different. I know with my daughter, I wouldn't let her go all the way at first. You're a little young, right? So you can go up to this far. And then, you know, a month later, you can go a little further. But she's climbed all the way to the top. She's at 10 now.
Nice. Yeah. Give her that carrot and make it a goal and a game.
Yeah.
Because it can be intimidating for those who, again, I imagine that Wahine you took up who turned 76.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there anxiety for her too that, oh my gosh, can I do this?
I don't think so. I mean, she's really on top of herself. She understood what her limits were and all of that. She took her time. And she just trying to make it a real journey for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't perceive her, anxious about it. I see plenty of people anxious.
Oh yeah. You can tell the first timers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can
and
really
with good
tell.
Reason, you know,
sure.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
It's not safe even under the best conditions.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gotta be careful.
And even the most seasoned hikers can get in trouble.
That's right.
You know, they can get in trouble, get tired, exhausted, and they need to hydrate like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like my paddling coach used to say, if you're thirsty, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize how dehydrated they are till it's too late.
But we've got a trail day going every Saturday. And so we've got dozens, I would say, of volunteers. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not hundreds, but it's dozens at least of volunteers helping us every Saturday.
Yeah, you call them trail days. What if somebody's listening to this and say, I want to get involved. I want to give back my time and maybe even some funds.
Oh, absolutely.
How do they get a hold of you?
Go to coconutcoalition.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a button for volunteer. It'll plug you into a schedule that'll allow you to sign up for dates to help out. You can contact us directly. A lot of organizations like to come, you know, as a group. And we organize a special event for them to help out sometimes. There's buttons for donation and all that. It's supposed to be cute. Coconut Coalition is KOKONUTKOALITION.
I like what you
which
do there.
It's supposed to be cute, but it's usually more confusion than anything, especially on radio.
Right. No, but I got it. I can visualize it. So the trail days, I imagine you get all walks of life volunteering their time.
Yeah.
And happy to be a part of it. I'm sure those guys, whoever are out there on Saturdays, it's a great day.
Yeah.
To give back.
It's a special experience. And I tell people, because I go and talk to people about this here and there, and I try to tell people, you know, you don't get a chance to participate in something like this maybe but once in your life. And you're not going to want to miss out on this one. You're going to want to go and volunteer at least one day
mm-hmm.
so you can say, because it's going to be done and you're going to be able to point at that
right.
for a long, long time and say, I helped with that.
Yeah.
And it's special. It's exhausting, really exhausting, but it's just very satisfying. You can track. There's a link on our website. You can track our progress.
Wow.
So we've got it mapped out. But you mentioned the original steps, there were 1,048 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at anchor 33 right now, which is about step 850.
Terrific.
So we got a couple hundred steps left, and that's it.
But I remember that you used to have numbers. So like knowing I was at step 500 and then step 750. I mean, I would often use that as my landmarks the few times that I went up there, knowing I still had X amount of. Have you folks relabeled some of those?
We have, you know, we have a kind of a technical numbering system set up for the work that we're doing. So we mostly are tracking things by the concrete anchors.
Okay.
There's 45 of them between the bottom and the top. But I think the original, those markers that you remember, you know, the 300, the 400, the 800, those are still there on the rail, right on the top. Somebody's painted them with, I don't know, some pretty tough paint.
And
nail polish.
Keeping it as intact and as in original condition as possible, because you don't want to take the beauty away of the experience.
Yeah, within the limits of what's possible engineering-wise, we really wanted to make sure that, you know, we're not putting up railing.
Yeah.
Or we didn't want to change the essential character of it, which is, you know, just some wooden steps and straight up.
It is. It is a beautiful journey. If you've never been on it, if you ever thought about it and say, oh, that's not for me, give it a shot, because it is worth every step. On the way down, I'm not sure if you'll feel the same way. It can be a little daunting. I know people who go down on their okole as opposed to going down on their steps, and Jesse Makadengdeng is staring at me because I know a lot of people don't like going down that way, so they'll go
it's
down.
It's a little uneasy, yeah. There's a little bypass. I try to make sure people are aware. There's a little bypass around that bridge, which is the area that I think most people are kind of uneasy. But there's all kinds of ways to get down. You can just slide down on your butt.
Yes.
You know.
All good.
It's fine. Yeah. You just hold on to that rail. I think more people fall at the very, very bottom than anywhere else, because by the time they've climbed all the way up, get all the way down, they got the rubber legs.
Oh, yeah. And you're giddy with joy. And then 3 days later, you just can't even use the bathroom. But that's for another story. Hey, David, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for having us.
That was very cool. Yeah. And if people want to get a hold of you or want to volunteer, they can go to
coconutcoalition.org.
Okay.
That is a website. You can also join our Facebook group, which is Coconut Coalition. I think we have an Instagram account at Coconut Coalition.
Trail Days. Yeah. Trail Days is when it happens on Saturdays.
Trail Days every Saturday morning. Usually we get started by 7 and we're done by noon or so because we're all tired.
I bet. Well, it's a labor of love, like you said, and I really appreciate the efforts that you folks have done to keep this Cocoa Crater Stairs of Doom alive and really for the next generation to love and enjoy and be a part of. You know, we can't control social media, but we can control what we do, and you folks are taking the time and effort and generating the funding to make that happen. And, I'm very thankful to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're really proud of what we've been able to accomplish and just very thankful for everyone who's chipped in.
Mahalo nui, David. Hey, mahalo nui for joining us. Join us next week for another episode of What School You Went. Until next time, ahuio.
What School You Went is a PBS Hawaii production. Music by Taimane Gardner. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and tell your friends. You can find us on pbshawaii.org and everywhere you get your podcasts.